Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Wednesday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. We are together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, live right here on the grid all Wednesday long. DRS, plenty to get to. We continue to preview the postseason that is about to begin around the National Football League. Some news and notes around the NFL. Of course, we are in the coaching carousel around the league. A huge night of upsets in men's college basketball, and we check in on the association as well. All of that over the next 3 hours, live right here on the Early Line.
Yeah, we probably expect to have even more information from the NFL, which they love to break that news right around 9 a.m. Eastern each weekday. Maybe another coach will be on the outs here, but we got a lot of stuff to get looking forward to, which includes an unbelievable wild card weekend. Injury watch, weather watch, good teams watch, upset watch. We got it all for you. I can't wait.
We certainly do have it all for you. And Donnie, another bit of an upset yesterday, but not in an actual football game, just a decision by a front office and ownership group in Nashville. The Titans fire Mike Vrabel after 6 seasons at the helm of this Titans organization, despite Vrabel having a winning record and wildly recognized as one of the better coaches in the National Football League. After 6 years and a 54-45 mark, Mike Vrabel is out in Tennessee.
Here's the interesting part. Rand Carthon, Ben, is the general manager there for Tennessee, came over from San Francisco last year. Here's what I love about it, right? The general manager is up at the podium answering questions because the owner fired the coach here. And I always get back to the basics, Ben. When you have like a high draft pick, right, and you pick a player and your fan base goes, that's an absolute bust, and it's a 99% resoundment side of that, it's usually a bad pick here. Secondarily, when the building leaks out information that they were shocked that their head coach actually got fired, it's typically not an organizational move. It might have just come down from the ownership group. So good luck with that as we welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live here to the Early Line Wednesday morning edition. Ben Stevens, Donnie Wrightside, Sirius XM Channel 159. As Mike Vrabel will get employment, Ben, probably before the end of the week.
Yeah, absolutely so. And there was some speculation, Donnie, about Vrabel's future in Nashville and if there was an opening at the team that he played most of his NFL career for in New England, whatever happens with Bill Belichick. But let's just say this. Since Mike Vrabel became the head coach of this Titans team back at the start of 2018, 15 teams out of the 32 NFL clubs, Donnie, have a winning record in that six-season span. Tennessee is one of those 15 teams. 17 teams were booked as an underdog 50 or more times in the last six NFL seasons, and the Titans are the only team with more than 25 wins as an underdog. Outright, they had 27. Mike Vrabel did more with less in Tennessee than many coaches are able to accomplish. Now we go to college basketball, a historic night in the sport. For the first time in nearly 2 years, both number one and number two go down on the same night. And for the fourth time in program history, the Nebraska Cornhuskers upset the number one team in the country. Last night inside PBA in Lincoln, the Cornhuskers were rocking. 88-72, the victory for Nebraska over Purdue, handing the Boilers just their second loss of this year. It's the first win, Donnie, for Nebraska over the number one team in the land in 41 years since 1982.
Yes, it's one of those things that we point to Purdue and say why nobody would be surprised by March Madness if this team gets knocked out early. The number one team in the country, yes, powerful and very solid, but already two losses in Big Ten play. And Ben, we just got to January 10th here. This will be interesting to see how they regroup, because this wasn't one of those, Ben, like, hey, you know what? 88-87 was a close game, a resounding victory by Nebraska over Purdue.
The Huskers win outright as a 7.5-point home underdog. Very difficult to win on the road now that conference play has begun here in 2024. What a night for Keisei Tominaga. A team and game-high 19 points for the Huskers. He is maybe the most electric player in all of Big Ten basketball. So number one Purdue goes down on the road in a Big Ten battle in Lincoln. Not all that far away in Ames, Iowa. Hilton magic once again for Iowa State. There are now no unbeaten teams left in Division I men's college basketball out of 362 schools. As number two Houston upset yesterday in Hilton Coliseum by Iowa State. A huge victory for the Cyclones, Donnie. Their seventh victory in the last 2 years under head coach TJ Otzelberger against an AP top 10 team. That's the most in all of the country.
How about Iowa State laying the smackdown on defense here to Houston, only allow them to 21 points at the break. But here's the interesting part of it. We know Houston is a good ball club, but it's harder to go on the road in the Big 12 than it is in Conference USA. Already a loss there for Houston. They'll rebound. They'll be fine. But this is no cakewalk anymore going through your conference play.
The last undefeated team in college basketball suffers its first loss. As we keep it rolling around the Big 12, a top 20 tilt last night in Waco, Texas. Number 14, Baylor. Number 18, BYU. The Cougars had a 12-1 non-conference slate, but now BYU, understanding the Big 12 just a little bit, their second consecutive loss in both of their Big 12 openers. Baylor, a huge 81-72 victory yesterday at home.
No surprise here why a home team shoots well from three-point range. That's what you're supposed to do. But also, when you're a number one shooting three-point team, like making 45% of your total three-point shots on the season, and you shoot 44% in a game, you're going to win most of those games. Big time win by Baylor. Live by the three, die by the three. They lived with it last night.
Jalen Bridges, a game-high 25 points for Scott Drew's team. Baylor covers even as a 4.5-point home favorite. Since OG Anunoby DRS joined the New York Knicks, they haven't lost a basketball game. Make it 5 in a row for the Knickerbockers with Anunoby in the lineup. And yesterday, it was a game-high 23 points for OG Anunoby, the most he has scored as a New York Knick, as the Knicks blow out the Blazers inside Madison Square Garden, 112-84. New York covering as a 7.5-point, 8-point home favorite.
Yeah, two quarters there for the Knicks, included the second and the third quarter, held the Trailblazers to 19 and 20 respectively here. It was a runaway victory for the Knicks. And I know Tibbs, you know, everybody loves 130-point nights, but you know Tibbs got that smile on his face holding an NBA team to 84 points. Probably had a couple beers after the game, like, job well done, boys.
Yes, he certainly did. Staying well under the total of 229, 12.5-point favorite, the New York Knicks at home yesterday. Now 13-6 against the spread as the favored side this year. Elsewhere in the association, Eric Spoelstra getting his flowers and his dollars. 8-year, $120 million extension with the Miami Heat for maybe the best coach in the NBA in the modern era, or at least the last couple of years. Eric Spoelstra gets his big contract extension with Miami.
Yeah, it's basically getting a max coaching deal here at this point. I mean, 8 years is tremendous, but $120 million on top of that. And let's not forget, coaches also have guaranteed salaries across the board, specifically in the NBA. He's paid for life and well-deserving.
Shota Imanaga, another Japanese pitcher in this offseason, signs with the Chicago Cubs. His nickname, Donnie, for the 30-year-old, the throwing philosopher out of Japan. To the association, we go up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on a Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. Around the association we go. Just a five-game slate yesterday in the NBA on a Tuesday evening, but it did include the best team in the Western Conference that added to its best record out West. That would be the Minnesota Timberwolves on the road in Orlando against the Magic. A 113-92 victory for the T-Wolves, who cover as a 5.5-point road favorite in the Sunshine State. Donnie, Minnesota yesterday scored 67 points in the opening half. On the other end of the spectrum, Orlando only able to muster up 37 in the first two quarters. That was a 30-point lead for the Timberwolves at the break. They win by 21. They cover as a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, and sometimes you can say to yourself, like, well, who's going to lose a lead up 33-16 at the end of the first quarter? Well, there was a team yesterday that put up 47 points in a blowout in the first quarter, actually lost that game by a blowout, because we do know the NBA is about runs. But when you're taking a look at a defensive structure for the Minnesota Timberwolves, that was a really good game last night. Rudy Gobert, as we know, not great on the offensive side. He actually goes 8-for-10 yesterday for 21 points, but we know he's an elite defender, which he clearly chipped in with 12 rebounds. If you're Orlando, you got 16 in the first quarter and 21 at the break. There's a chance that you're getting blown out that night, and that's exactly what happened. It's rare to see multiple teams on a short slate in the NBA go under 100 points, but we certainly had that yesterday with the Trailblazers and the Orlando Magic. The Magic are still trying to learn how to win. 21-16 on the season. They were a very good home team coming into this game at 13-4, which now drops them to 13-5, but that's just what we expect out of Minnesota. You're supposed to beat teams that are inferior opponents to yourself, and they handled their business on the road yesterday.
Anthony Edwards didn't have to do much, with Carl Anthony Towns putting up 28 in a comfortable, again, 30-point margin at the halftime break. But for the T-Wolves to win by 21 points, where Ant only scores six, again, a balanced squad that has the best record in the Western Conference, now 26-10 straight up, 13-12-2 against the number when booked as the favored side. Orlando, often good as an underdog, but now 16-9 against the spread, 11 of those 16 covers, outright victories. We shared this at the start of the show. Five consecutive wins for the New York Knicks to cover in a big way as a 12.5-point home favorite inside Madison Square Garden last night, winning 112-84 against the Portland Trailblazers. OG Anunoby has been in New York for five games. New York has won all five, nearly a 30-point win, and Anunoby scoring the most points he has as a member of this Knicks organization. 23 points to lead all scorers last night inside MSG.
Yeah, another big win for the Knicks last night. And this is great here, because when that trade went down, typically from either side, you say you won your trade. Like, Toronto's like, hey, man, we won that trade. Look at the players we got back. The New York Knicks fans usually would say the same. But it was a little bit more lukewarm reaction in New York. Like, oh, no, we got OG. We lost a couple players we like. Now we're going to have to pay him like $30 million at the end of the season. If it doesn't work out, this could be tragic for us. And it hasn't been tragic. He's actually came in and fit in very well with the Knicks. And also, this isn't a learning curve process that we're looking at, let's just say, like the Clippers, right? Hey, James Harden back in the fold. They can't win a game. Why not here? Looks like he's transitioned fairly well. And also from a defensive angle, they were tremendous last night, only giving up 84 total points. Randall had 27 and 8 last night. That's a nice win for the Knicks, where the vibes are high now in Madison Square Garden. Yep. Let's see how long this run can last.
13-6 against the spread for New York when booked as a favorite, one of the best all in the NBA. Meanwhile, we knew Portland was going to struggle in the post Damian Lillard era in the Rose City. Now just 10-26 straight up, booked as an underdog, 32 games, 15-17 though against the spread. Not last night, but the Blazers have often been competitive even when they are not expected to win basketball games. Of course, Donnie, early this week, week, as I'm sure you guys shared on the show yesterday, big news in the NBA. Ja Morant, after serving a 25-game suspension to start off this NBA season, returned. Memphis looked good with Ja on the floor, but some bad news. A torn labrum in his shoulder. He is out for the remainder of this year. So what do the Grizz do in their first game without Ja? They go on the road to Dallas and went outright as an underdog by 17 points. 120-103. Memphis, a huge upset against the Mavericks last night. The Grizz went outright as a 9-point underdog.
This is what we love about the NBA, right? I mean, if the NHL, you pretty much get a clean slate every night. The NFL is only once a week. Do we get upsets? Absolutely, we do. But the back-to-back in the NBA, where it's just like, okay, we play one night and play well. 2 days later, we just don't show up at all. Who is actually looking to jump on the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant heading in to take on the Dallas Mavericks? Not too many people. And I understand it was a high number, closing at around 10 at game time. But in no way, shape, or form were we excited here to say, like, oh, no, there goes the Memphis Grizzlies season. Why even play anymore? A 17-point win on the road against the Dallas Mavericks last night with Kyrie Irving and also Luka Doncic in the lineup.
Crazy.
This is why we love the NBA, and it keeps you on your toes on a night-to-night basis. That's a really good bounce back for the Grizzlies, saying, like, look, we're not dead and buried here. We're still professionals earning paychecks. We're going to go up and show out, specifically against teams that are very good like the Mavericks, but I didn't see a double-digit win on the road coming from the Grizzlies, and I'm pretty sure not very many people did either.
Desmond Bain leading the effort for the Grizz last night, a team-high 32 points. Marcus Smart pours in 23 as well. Three players off the bench for the Grizzlies last night, scoring at least 11 points. And you can't learn everything from a box score. We know that. You got to watch the game. You got to see how the ebbs and flows of a matchup play out. But if I were to tell you, Donnie, recapping this basketball game, that both Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving played at home for the Mavericks against a Ja Morant-less Memphis Grizzlies team, and they combine, that being Kyrie and Luka, for 64 points, both scoring at least 31. Luka Doncic, 31. Kyrie Irving, 33. You would have asked, how much did Dallas cover the spread by as a 9-point home favorite? Instead, the Grizzlies went outright by 17 as a 9-point underdog. 15-9 now against the number four Dallas as a favorite this year. Memphis 11-14 against the spread as an underdog. I think we are going to see the Grizzlies as an underdog many more times this year, now without Ja Morant. It's been a little bit dicey for the LA Lakers since winning the NBA Cup, but they did snap a little bit of a slide on Sunday night. A victory in the Battle of LA over the Clippers. It was the first for the Lakers in a while, and they had lost 9 of their last 12 games entering Sunday night since winning the NBA in-season tournament. A victory last night at home against Toronto, but it was tight. 132-131. 86 combined points in the fourth quarter, Donnie, between the Raptors and the Lakers, who win by one but do not cover as a 4.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, a lot of anger there from the coaching staff for the Toronto Raptors because of the parade to the free throw line in the fourth quarter for the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. But sometimes when you get to the rim, you got superstar players, you're going to get the call. That's a good win by the Lakers because yesterday coming into it, I was like, look, the Lakers have really folded up shop since that in-season tournament. But you did get that win, as you said, on Sunday night. Now you got another win against the Raptors. You want to try to build on something. Next for the Lakers, get over 500 as they currently sit 19-19. Anthony Davis was awesome last night. 41 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists and a block there. That's tremendous. You got to lean on your big guys here, but the same thing goes as followed. You're barely winning basketball games with guys like Anthony Davis playing 40 minutes a night. We know how that turns out here. But by the way, yesterday, I thought LeBron James, that was my play last night, over 2.5 3-point shots, made it a nice plus price, a plus 136, only made 2 of those. So I did lose my wager in that game, but LeBron James and his Lakers won that basketball game. Maybe things can start to look up. 2 games turns into 3, 4, and 5. Now we're no longer talking about a team tanking outside of the in-season tournament, Ben.
AD, some very clutch free throws down the stretch. He was on the charity stripe for a lot of the final 2.5 minutes in that fourth and final quarter. 41 points, 11 boards, even 6 assists last night for the Brow. LeBron James also a double-double, 22 points and 12 dimes. It was tight all fourth quarter long. There was never larger than a 6-point lead, and that was with the Raptors. The Lakers had a couple of times where they were up by 5. Toronto, meanwhile, now falls 7 games below .500 this year as the underdog, 10-10-1 against the spread, booked as a favorite in those 16 other games this season. To a night in college basketball that featured many an upset. That's next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
12 ranked teams in action last night on a night full of upsets in college basketball. We will get to the huge upsets in just a moment with both number one Purdue and number two Houston going down last night on the road in conference play. And that is now the story in this 2023-24 men's college basketball season. Conference play underway all around the country where it is difficult to win on the road. Home team booked as favorites or maybe even underdogs, it's a huge area to look. We'll talk about that in many different spots in just a moment. We start with a top 20 tilt in Big 12 play. Last night in Waco, Texas, number 14 Baylor, number 18 BYU. Donnie, BYU in the non-conference portion of this season, a 12-1 run. A very exciting start to this year now as a Big 12 member, but in their first two Big 12 games in program history, two consecutive losses. Over the weekend, booked as a 10-point home favorite against Cincy, they lost by 11. Last night on the road in Waco, they lose by 9. A top 15 side in Baylor wins 81-72. The Bears covering as a 4.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, it looks like the BYU Cougars need a little bit more caffeine as they head on the road here to try to get energized into Big 12 play. But you take a look at the Baylor Bears. This was an interesting matchup on the handicap yesterday, Ben, because you had a couple things that I thought were really interesting. Number one was BYU. If you take a look at their team, over 50% of their total shots, Ben, come from three-point range, which means you're going to live and die by the three-point shot. They weren't bad, 37.5% on the road as a team, making 9 of those. But also when you realize, Ben, when you shoot that many three-point shots, what do you don't do? Take the ball to the basket and get fouls called. You were 11 of 14 from the free throw line. So vice versa, let's flip it over to the Baylor Bears. They don't shoot a ton of three-point shots like BYU does, but they make more three-point shots percentage-wise than anybody else in the country. They shoot 43.5% from the three-point line, but also this is a team that is aggressive trying to get to the glass. 21 of 28 from the free throw line. That was the difference in the game. One team made 21 free throws, the other made 11 here. Look at that point differential, 81 to 72. Good win for the Baylor Bears at home.
Yeah, a huge win for Baylor, who has covered in all of their last 8 wins, booked as the favored side in all 8 of those victories. Jalen Bridges leading the way for Scott Drew's team, 25 points to pace the Baylor Bears last night. Now we go to a Mountain West showdown, Colorado State and Boise State. Last night in Boise, where the Broncos have not been great this year, 1-3 straight up and against the spread as an underdog entering. But again, you can read the gambling odds. It was only a 1.5-point spread for a top 25 team in the CSU Rams, who is 13-2 entering last night and as the favored side, 8-3 against the spread. So you might have been thinking, if you're looking at the odds board, why in the world is Boise State just a 1.5 point dog? Well, home underdogs are maybe not dogs, Donnie, but home wolves in conference play. Boise State, a big victory in a low scoring affair, staying well under a total of 145.5. The victory for the Broncos, 65-58 over 17th ranked Colorado State. Again, the 5th game for Boise State this year, booked as an underdog, their 2nd outright win.
Yeah, 2-0 in conference play, which is great. You take a look at the Colorado State Rams and you say, like, well, now hold on. They went on the road. Ben shot 47% from the field and lost this game 65-58. Make it make sense. Well, it's pretty easy. If you go on the road and have 16 turnovers and the other team only has 10, that's extra chances and extra shots that Boise State would get, and they converted on those because why? They only shot 38%. They actually lost by almost 10% from the field shooting-wise percentage, which is hard to do. But again, 4 of 16 from the three-point line, 16 turnovers on the road. That's not going to be good enough here as the Rams drop to 1-2 in conference play here now.
Conference play is a huge portion of the rest of this college basketball season. You look around the Mountain West, by the way, last night with a ton of teams in the top 25. Utah State, a huge victory at home, 83-59 over Wyoming. The Aggies, a top 20 team in the country. San Diego State, of course, the team that played in the national championship under Brian Dutcher last year, 81-78. A victory for the Aztecs, ranked 19th in all the land on the road against San Jose State. Now to a night of upsets in college basketball. Both number one and number two go down on the same night for the first time since February of 2022. We start with number two. That was the Houston Cougars, the last remaining undefeated team in college basketball. They entered Hilton Coliseum last night in Ames with a perfect 14-0 record, booked as a favorite in all 14 games, 8-5-1 against the spread. The Cougs, Donnie, under Kelvin Sampson, booked as a 2.5-point road favorite in Ames, but it's Hilton Magic for a reason. Iowa State pulls off the upset last night in a low-scoring affair against Houston, 57-53. The seventh victory for the Cyclones over an AP top 10 team in the last two college basketball campaigns, the most in all the country.
Keep it simple yesterday. Just play really good defense, which is usually the calling card here for the Houston Cougars. Now, granted, they actually played very good defense holding the Cyclones to only 57 points, but the Cyclones returned the favor by holding Houston to 53. If you take a look at the measures, Ben, before the game, you say, Donnie, you know what? Got a tip for you. You know what's going to happen? 3 of 15 from the three-point line for Iowa State, 20% from the line. There's no way they're going to be able to beat Houston because, you know, as a really good defensive team, particularly sound in the half court, you better make your three-point shots if you want to beat Houston. You're not going to be able to run up and down the court and out athlete the Houston Cougars. That's not happening here. But how do you defeat them? How about this, Ben? You take a look at the Houston Cougars here. Only 8 of 12 from the free throw line, which means Iowa State wasn't fouling. But take a look again at Iowa State from the line. 18 of 22, 82% as a team. You win that free throw margin by 10. That's the way you pick up these wins in close environments when you're not shooting the basketball that well. We know it's going to be harder for the Houston Cougars to go on the road in Big 12 play than it is obviously in Conference USA. Nobody's giving up on the Houston Cougars. That's a nice win by Iowa State, and also maybe resets the Cougars like, hey, you better bring your A game every single night in this new conference on the road.
Yeah. There are 362 Division I men's college basketball programs, and now all 362 this season have suffered at least one loss. Houston was the last remaining undefeated side in all of the sport, their first loss of the season last night. Under T.J. Otzelberger, who is the head coach of this Iowa State men's basketball program, the Cyclones have been booked as an underdog 6 times at home inside Hilton Coliseum in Ames. Under Otzelberger, who became the head coach at the start of 2021. They are now 5-1 against the spread as a home underdog, winning outright 4 times. So number two goes down first in Ames. Number one goes down second in Lincoln, Nebraska. A historic night for the Huskers. Nebraska's first win over the AP number one team in the land in 41 years since February of 1982. Just the fourth time in program history for Nebraska ball, 88-72. A dominating win for the Cornhuskers last night in Lincoln over the number one team in Purdue, handing the Boilermakers their second loss of this season.
Yeah, you take a look at Purdue coming in that basketball game, been a very good and sound defensive team and also an ultra-efficient offensive team. But you know who's the ultra-efficient offensive team last night? Those are the Nebraska Cornhuskers dropping 88 points on Purdue. And you say, how did they do it? Shoot 50% as a team from the floor, but even better. You want to win basketball games in college basketball, the ultimate equalizer by far is the three-point shot. If you're going to shoot 61% from a team, and Ben, again, that's not like, hey, 6 of 10, that was nice. 14 of 23, you're going to be able to put basketball teams away. And also, when you get to the free throw line, make it count here. 84% is a team. They played wonderfully last night here. I didn't see this coming. Look, Purdue's going to lose basketball games. Every team is going to lose basketball games this season in college basketball. But it is kind of interesting to see that final score, because when you upset Purdue and storm the court, it's like, wow, 64-63, we held on at the end. No, it wasn't a hold on at the end. Nebraska was better from start to finish, which is the more impressive thing here for those Huskers.
16 of 19 from the charity stripe for Nebraska. You mentioned how prolific they were from deep last night, led by Keisei Tominaga. If you do not know Tominaga's name, learn about the most electric player in all of college basketball. 5 of 9 from deep last night to lead all scorers with 19 points. Nebraska this year, 13 and 3, the best start in the program in more than a decade. Nebraska is one of the few power conference teams available in the sport that has yet to win an NCAA tournament game in program history. This Husker side feels a little bit different. Feels like maybe something special is brewing in Lincoln. So, as we welcome in our coach, James Young, joining us live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line. JY, what was your reaction to Nebraska's upset over number one Purdue last night in Lincoln?
You know, good morning, guys. Listen, first things first, this is going to be madness all year in regards to the parity that we have in college basketball. So nothing surprises me at this point, Ben. And when you look at a team like Nebraska, you know, maybe Fred Hoiberg, he did a great job, remember, folks, at Iowa State before going to the NBA. Maybe he's starting to finally turn his program around. But if you look at the flip side, Ben, here is the concern with Purdue. Number one, their ability to get stops. Remember, I think they gave up 88 points or something like that to Northwestern on the road in their other loss. So do they defend well on the road? And then also, three-point shooting. Lawyer, Smith, Jones did not shoot particularly well, all of them to collectively. Guard play will dictate national championship. If Purdue doesn't get their guard play, it doesn't matter what Zach Edey does, which is only 15-7, that is going to be a problem for this team moving forward.
For a guy that averages a double-double, to only have 15-7 last night is a story for the Boilers. But when you look at Zach Edey, the reigning Wooden Award winner, he is already heavily favored to win the Wooden Award for a second consecutive year at a near $3 price, minus 290. There is a market on Edey, minus 290 to win, plus 230 to not win it, to go to somebody else in college basketball. More on College Hoops next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
James Young is back for a second consecutive segment live right here on a Wednesday on the Early Line. Our coach, JY, as we look around the country in college basketball, evident last night how difficult it is to win on the road in conference play. And now it is really conference action the remainder of this 2023-24 regular season. We are not all that far away from March, just about 2 months out from Selection Sunday. But if you wait until March to consume the madness, you are doing yourself a disservice, as we saw last night with both number one Purdue and number two Houston getting upset on the road. Purdue by Nebraska, Houston by Iowa State inside Hilton Coliseum. So, JY, let's look around the conferences in college basketball. We go in alphabetical order, highlighted on this list by Purdue, who was minus 330 entering last night's game in Lincoln against the Huskers to win the Big Ten. Still greater than a $2 odds on favorite at minus 210. In the Big Bad Big 12, Kansas booked as the favorites right now at plus 170. Penny Hardaway's Memphis Tigers, an odds-on favorite in the American. North Carolina in the ACC, and in the Atlantic 10, it's the Dayton Flyers, booked as the favorites right now. JY, when you look at that list, what stands out to you first and foremost?
Well, number one, I think that it's righted itself. Let's go to the American, where I honestly think that Memphis is the best team in that league. There was talk about obviously FAU coming in from Conference USA and what they could do, but Penny Hardaway's got the most experienced team in the country. And when you get Javon Quinterly to transfer in, but also get Naquan Tomlin to transfer in during the season, which I haven't heard of that one before, leaving a school and going to another school and being eligible immediately, I think that is an interesting thing. Now, when you go to the ACC, the reason why North Carolina is ahead of Duke is simply because of the fact that North Carolina is undefeated, and they did get a big win over the weekend over Clemson, who has started to come back down to earth after not playing an overly difficult schedule. But, Ben, I think the main thing we're going to take from it is these markets are going to move and move dramatically. So if you think there's a team that's going to make a run, then you have to start looking at them. Houston, obviously, with the loss, moved back. I think they could still be in play, but you look at the Big 12, Ben. I mean, Baylor could win it. Kansas could win it. If Oklahoma wins, I think they play Kansas this weekend. They could win it. Houston could win it. I mean, this is going to be madness, and Ben is absolutely right. You think madness starts in March? No. College basketball madness started when the season started.
Yeah, it's good stuff to watch it play out here, because it's crazy that, as Ben talks about, like, we're like 60 days away from getting into March Madness, and it feels like, okay, we're just in the conference play. We got so long to go, but it doesn't really feel like that long. These games are going to take place 2 and 3 conference games a week, and away you go on how to level it. And also, the Big 12, I call it the SEC football here of college basketball. It's sensational top to bottom, and Houston now being a part of it is very exciting. Tough loss last night, obviously, in Hilton, but certainly they're going to be a factor when the season comes around. If we take a look at some other conferences here, and sort of focusing in on conferences that maybe don't get a lot of love, but the teams that always pop up here, the West Coast Conference here, Coach, when you take a look at the Gonzaga Bulldogs, 2-0 in conference play, it's what they do each and every year. But the reason I'm going to bring up this conference is, what do we expect out of the Gonzaga Bulldogs this year? Is it a walkthrough in WCC conference play? Is it going to be getting to the tournament, making a run? Because Gonzaga doesn't sneak up on anybody, but I feel like this is one of those teams where typically we take a look at Gonzaga, Coach, and say they have superstar talent, first-round talent. Do they have it this year? And what do we anticipate out of the WCC this year?
Well, listen, when you look at a team like Gonzaga, they do have the talent. Now, is this the level of Gonzaga teams we've seen the last 4 or 5 years? No. But they're good enough, and they are properly priced as being the favorite. I think the key when you look at a team like Gonzaga is the play of Ryan Nembhard, the transfer from Creighton. Has not shot the ball well from three so far to start the year, only at 25%, shot it at 30% or higher the previous 2 years. So he's got to do a little bit of better job, plus his turnovers are up to about 2.7. He's got to be better. I think the thing that makes it interesting is a team that usually sits in second in this league is St. Mary's, and St. Mary's has not gotten off to what I consider to be a usual St. Mary's team. They're usually a tough out. They're really good defensively. They have not looked great in non-conference play. Winners of three straight. They had a three-game losing streak earlier. Weber State, San Diego State, Xavier. They've started to right the ship, so you still can find some money on a team like St. Mary's, because if you're St. Mary's, you hope that you get a split, and it may come down to guys on March 2nd. St. Mary's will host Gonzaga. That game could probably decide the regular season title based on what could happen the rest of the way.
You look at some of those conferences as well. Arizona, a strong odds-on favorite, greater than $2 out in the Pac-12. Not necessarily the strongest contenders in that conference. Maybe an eye on Colorado at 11-1. Of course, in the Big East, the defending national champs, the Connecticut Huskies, plus 130 as the favorite. But four teams right now with a three-digit price in the Big East. UConn, plus 130. Marquette, the defending champs in the conference, 3-1. Creighton, plus 470. Villanova, plus 550. Good that they're in the Big East and not the Big Five for Kyle Neptune's Cats this year. What about Hallball? 4-1 for Shaheen Holloway and Seton Hall in Big East action. A 30-1 price. Mark that down at this moment on the Pirates. JY, just a quick look at the national championship odds in college hoops. Purdue is still the favorite at 10-1, despite moving back by about a buck after last night's loss in Lincoln, Nebraska. Arizona and Houston only a dollar behind, tied for the second best price at 11-1. JY, obviously, a lot will be decided in the six games that is known as the NCAA tournament. Is there any value at this moment in your mind on any of those teams with any of those odds to win a national championship this season?
You know what, Ben? I'm going all in. I'm going all in on the Kentucky Wildcats at 20-1. This is kind of been what we kind of started looking at when you and I did the bracket center. We started looking at, like, UConn, you know, before the tournament, like, this could be the team that could be dangerous. I'm looking at Kentucky. This is a big year for Cal. Obviously, you know, with that recruiting class, it's something. But to me, there's two things that have really caught my eye with Kentucky the last, I would say, month or so. Number one is the play of Bradshaw, who has had, obviously, Jeff Goodman on my podcast last week, and he thinks that this guy, Bradshaw, is a top three pick. Remember, folks, he played with Wagner at Camden High School and was less heralded as a player than, obviously, Wagner, and is doing really well. Only 10-6 last night and a 13-point win over Missouri as a 12.5-point favorite. But now I got to get to DJ, and he's slowly starting to turn it. Folks, you can look at DJ Wagner and say he may be, ready for this, folks, the fourth best guard on that team. When you took at Reeves, you look at Shepard, you look at Dillingham. I mean, Shepard and Dillingham coming off the bench, that's enough to start for most teams in the country. So to me, Cal's got this team playing really well. And I think for the value at 20-1, and think about this, Ben, I think the SEC, right behind the Big 12, second best league in college basketball, top to bottom, it's loaded. You see Kentucky right there with Tennessee at 20-1. But if Kentucky continues to play well, folks, you're up to number 6 in the country. You're going to see those odds drop. So to me, right now, 20-1, I really love this Kentucky Wildcats team.
Yeah, Wagner was good last night. Limited minutes, very efficient here. Coach, let's flip it over to the NBA and take a look at some of these tiers. Now, we know the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets, East Coast and West Coast, two of the best teams out there, legitimate chances to win it, absolutely. But you know where I focus my attention here on? I need to get your opinion on this, because the Phoenix Suns, night in, night out, are an anomaly to me. The Big Three's out there, they play well. The Big Three's out there, they don't play well. The Big Three's not out there at all. But also the team to focus on, the Clippers, that we were laughing at the start of the season, have rounded into form. So let's go ahead with the Suns and the Clippers, Coach. Give me a breakdown of what we actually think. Are they contenders or pretenders heading into this season? Or should I say middle of the season here?
You know, Donnie, when you look at it, I can't put Phoenix in there yet until I see them healthy. Doesn't it just remind you of the Brooklyn Nets team of KD, Harden, and Kyrie that never got on the floor together? And you know how mercurial KD is. Like, does he get pissed off at what's going on? Then at some point, does Devin Booker get pissed off at what's going on? So to me, I can't buy in on Phoenix right now. But I will absolutely buy in on the Clippers. Because I think what you've got is the Claw is playing like the Claw of back before, I would say, a couple of years ago. He's playing back-to-backs. He's playing 3 games in 4 nights. He's been the best player on the floor. And since he is, I know people are going to talk about since Harden's been there. And it's helped, Donnie. But to me, since Kawhi elevated his game offensively, defensively, playing like a top, 6-7 player in the NBA, that has flipped this team. And the other reason why I'm a big believer is this. Two reasons. One, I think Tyronn Lue's one of the 5 best coaches in the NBA. And two, guys, it has to work this year. Remember, both Kawhi, PG-13 can opt out after this year. They're going into that new arena next year. They have to make it work. I really think the Clippers make a big run this year.
The Clips and the 76ers tied for the 5th best price to win that Larry O'Brien trophy this year as an NBA champion at 12-1. Donnie, let's not pass off those TEL tiers like they were yours. That's the great work of our guys behind the scenes, two excellent basketball minds in John Shames and Joe Friezo. And I love not only the catchy names, but also the grouping of teams in these tiers. We just mentioned the 76ers at 12-1 to win an NBA championship. JY, we're nearly at the midway point. I don't think a lot of even casual NBA fans recognize that. Most teams around the association, 35, 36, 37 games already played this year. The Celtics, the best team in basketball, 28-8, best record, a perfect 17-0 at home inside TD Garden. The Nuggets off to a great start as well, 12 games above 500. The storyline that I am going to follow here down the second half of this NBA season, the teams that are off to great starts in the Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the two best winning percentages in that conference. How legitimate, JY, do you believe the T-Wolves and the Thunder are going to be, not here in January, but by the time we get to April and May?
I think when you look at it, Ben, if you're going to give one team that I like more than the other, it's going to be Minnesota. The fact, folks, is they are the best defensive team in the NBA by the metrics, giving up 107.2 points per game. And when you got that rim protector and Rudy Gobert, who's playing his best basketball in a long time, him and Kat have figured it out, and Anthony Edwards has ascended his game to a top 10 player in the NBA. So I do think I trust them more because of the defensive side of the ball. And as you know, Ben, the game slows down a lot. But the one thing in that list that you know, Friezo and James did a great job pulling up is those teams that are on the bottom on the trade deadline dependent, right? I'm looking at the first two, the Knicks and the Heat. Rhodes is going to do something because he always has a trick up. He's always up to no good. So something's going on. But to me, folks, I'm telling you this right now. If the Knicks go get a bench scoring guard, most likely by the name of Malcolm Brogdon, I will say this. The Knicks could find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals because they got a stopper in OG Anunoby. Brunson's playing out of his mind. Hartenstein's been really good. But the play is going to be key of McBride and Grimes. Can they continue to elevate their game, which then gives the Knicks more depth?
James Young, JY, our coach breaking it down in both college and the NBA ranks. We appreciate the time, as always. Hit a fadeaway toward the break. We're back live right here on the Early Line up next on this Wednesday with the final eight people of the year in college football.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, ending out this opening hour. The end of a college football season in 2023 has arrived. Michigan, a national champion for the first time since 1997, 34-13, the victory for the Maize and Blue in Houston on Monday evening. And yesterday, Donnie, the final AP poll of the 2023 college football campaign was released, where the Wolverines, by far a unanimous number one team in the country, followed by Washington. Now, we're not going to be overly upset by this final AP poll, but I will say, fine, Texas number three, all good. Why Alabama falls off to number five behind Georgia in the final AP poll? Because Georgia routed the fourth string Florida State team in a non-consequential Orange Bowl when we have any way of determining who the better team was this year between the Bulldogs and the Crimson Tide, known as the SEC championship game that Alabama won. I said I wasn't going to get upset, and here I am.
Yeah, and you're upset about the wrong things here. The question is, like, Oregon being embarrassed with a team like Florida State being tied for sixth when they got beat by 60. Yeah. Like, Florida State shouldn't even be in the top 25 at this point, and quite frankly, should be getting sued by television networks and the ACC alike for being that fraud program that proved everybody correct, that they weren't going to be able to hang around in the college football playoffs. So that's my big beef. But yes, Michigan was sensational all the way through, absolutely number one. And in the olden days, Ben, we would have had to wait for the final AP top 20 poll to crown our national champion when they probably didn't even play the number two team in their bowl game. Those were the days, my friend.
Yes, those were. And back in 1997, by the way, based on points in the AP poll, it was a co-national champion for Michigan alongside the Nebraska Cornhuskers. This a solo and dominant national championship this year for Michigan. Now it's the offseason for everybody all around college football with questions to be answered. Coming up next, as we start hour number two in less than a minute, an uncertain offseason ahead in Nashville for the Tennessee Titans. What are you doing firing Mike Craven? We'll discuss up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.